Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Inducement. Everything's an inducement. But, oh no! The players might be getting told they can make some money on NIL. We better get Tuberville in here.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
College football in many people's minds is like a better product than the NFL is because it's a worse product than the NFL because of the mayhem and the craziness and the poor plays and the wild things that happen.
And SI's Pat Forte.
If it was the Subaru's turn, then Hannibal Lecter is at fault. If it was not the Subaru's turn, then Hannibal Lecter had a right to bite his nose off.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Oh, welcome to the pod. Week 4. I think we all saw this coming. Battle of undefeateds. Kansas Jayhawks, Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, baby.
In Lawrence. Pat, what the hell is going on? We got problems.
NCAA cheating at stake. Yeah.
This is a hell of a basketball game. Is the Champions Classic already this weekend? Is this happening at the Barclays Center? No.
No.
It's at the reportedly football stadium they have in Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah, where usually it's like 10 to 15,000 people, at least reported. That's what's great. That Kansas is one of those places where like they'll have 8,000, 10,000 people there, and then they'll get ahead of Oklahoma like 10 to 7, and all of a sudden the students start showing up, you know, just straggling in there. Hey, oh my God, we might actually upset somebody. We'll come. No, this is the new world, man. It's a brave new world. Two schools who historically suck and are completely apathetic in football, who are off to 3-0 starts and made really good coaching hires. Everybody, I think, recognized that Kansas and Lance Leipold was a great match. You know, this is a guy who his record when he was a D3 coach was ridiculous. I mean, it was like 91-9 or something absurd, and he won multiple national championships. So Buffalo gave him a chance to move up to D1, and he killed it there at a place where it's not easy to win. And then, yeah, I mean, look, if you're Kansas, don't get a gimmick guy. Don't get a retread guy. They've tried those things. Go get somebody who's proven he can win games. And Lance Leipold steps right in, solidly gets things started last year. They upset Texas. And now this year they're off 3-0. And it's not just 3-0 beating Gardner-Webb. It's 3-0 beating West Virginia on the road and then beating a Houston team that started the year in the top 25. So that's awesome. And then Duke goes and gets Mike Elko, defensive coordinator at Texas A&M. He immediately makes their defense better. They shut out Temple. They've beat Northwestern on the road. So lo and behold, here we go. No Krzyzewski, no self, but it's kind of fun and interesting.
Never thought I'd see it. Game day should have gone.
I know.
I was
so disappointed in that. I was like actually angry when I saw the game day announcement. I mean, why, you know, I get Tennessee, Florida, but you know, Florida's got a loss and Tennessee hosts Alabama in like 3 weeks. So you could see that there's an opportunity to go back there, you know, if Tennessee's like undefeated or even with one loss or something, because you know, Alabama will probably be undefeated. Like there's opportunities to go there. Man, how do you pass up 3-0 Duke and 3-0 Kansas? We saw this past week when game day goes to a place that's kind of like, you know, an unusual place. It doesn't go to very often. Like it creates a great environment and really cool, and everybody gets jazzed up about it at App State. They should have gone to Lawrence, man. I was angry about that. That stinks.
Look, this whole we discussed this whole game day thing, and I mean game day kind of is like this fun event that shows up, and people watch. No doubt people watch it, but it's not like this show's got like 10 million viewers or something. I mean, it's like the influences people tune in at the end, watch the hat, you know, who they're picking and stuff. It's a great event. We love it.
Yeah,
and we said, look, Fox is straight up. They're doing whatever they're broadcasting. So there's no, if you call this journalistic integrity on where to pick a show. I'm not really sure it's journalistic integrity, but game day's got a chance to maintain that. But then when they immediately jump and say, I mean, this is a good game. This is an interesting game.
Yeah.
He said Florida's 2-1 and looked horrible last week. And, you know, yeah, Tennessee's 3-0, but is there, and you know, they're ranked, what, 11th, I think. They beat Pitt, but although they got Akron, Akron and Ball. I mean, it's not like it's, I don't know. You could go, let's put it this way. If Tennessee can very, very easily be 5-0 when the Crimson Tide show up on October 15th.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you can go to that game.
They got Florida, they got LSU. I mean, they can do that. Yeah. Even if they've got one loss, I mean, that's an opportunity for them to go back. That game's still relevant. You know, I think
Penn State and Michigan's that day too, and that could be a top.
That's true.
Five line. Yeah. But I don't know. Right. I haven't been to Knoxville in a while, but
yeah,
this is such a great little story of like what the hell.
You're not going to get it again, probably. You're not going to get this story again. You're going to get Tennessee again. You should anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. You can look down the schedule and find multiple opportunities to see Tennessee. Yeah, I was disappointed in it. I thought this might be one of the first times where it was kind of an SEC friendly decision from game day. But that's the thing I did. Shockingly, I said that on Twitter, and shockingly, the Tennessee fans were quite displeased with me.
Vol Twitter. You got the Vol Twitter, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're an idiot. Nobody's going to watch that other game. You look at the attendance for their game versus our game. Well, look, this is a story. Game day doesn't show the game. As a matter of fact, this game's on CBS, it's not on ESPN. Tennessee and Florida. So this is not about broadcasting a game. It's all about broadcasting a preview show and going where the story is. And the story is Duke and Kansas both being 3-0. It's interesting. And yeah, I mean, if this is all about where's the big number going to be, they wouldn't have gone to Troy and App last week. So, you know, I think this was a missed opportunity to do one of the things that game day does well, which is shine a light on a different place and get people excited about all corners of college football.
Yep.
The Chiefs are on the road this weekend, or else could have had, like, you know, Mahomes or Kelsey or somebody. Mm-hmm. Should pick her. I don't know. It's too much with that show. Anyway, tread lightly on the pro all SEC. You know, this is I'm sure there's a lot that goes into these decisions, or maybe not.
No, there is. And, you know, but this is one where you look at it and wonder, was that a factor?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's fair to at least ask.
Anyway, I think it's cool that some teams that are having their moments, people in Kansas are excited for a football game. People at Duke are excited for a football game. It's great. We need a lot more of the promotion of the muddled middle in this sport, and not just everything be, you know, Georgia, 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 Bama, Bama, Bama. We know they're good.
Well, that's the best while we love college football, I think while college football in many people's minds is like a better product than the NFL is because it's a worse product than the NFL because of the mayhem and the craziness and the poor plays and the wild things that happen in these weird storylines of two basketball schools meeting undefeated. Like it's all part of like the fabric, I feel like, of college football, you know? Definitely disappointing, but maybe we should blame Pete. Should we just blame Pete for this? Let's just blame Pete.
Everything's Pete's fault.
Everything's Pete's big fault. Brand Pete only wants to go to the big stadiums.
That's right.
Yeah, he's popular.
It's TV Pete's fault. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
It is funny all the different little things because my kids are trying to learn college sports. It's super complicated because it's like
you're trying to explain.
They can look at it and see how stupid it all is.
They get the NFL, right? Like, oh, the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. He's awesome. They mostly win.
Yeah.
Right? But then you have to sit there and be like, yeah, this Kansas, why are you watching Kansas? It doesn't have the little number on the side. Well, it's kind of interesting. They usually suck, but now they're good. Well, they're not even ranked. So how good are they? Well, they're not that good. But they're probably only going to go in like six games. But you got to understand. That's, you know, and it's
I thought they were
good. Hey. They won the national title. Well, that was basketball. They're really good at that. And I don't know. You're just going to have to pay a lot of attention for a long time. I have no explanation.
Yeah, explaining college sports is not an easy thing. I think I told you guys the story of a friend of mine who was sitting next to the Croatian guy on a flight to a game, like another sports writer, a friend of mine. And the Croatian man was like trying to, like, learn how to what you know, what this person next to him, the sports writer, does for a living. And he's like, I cover college sports. And the sports writer is trying to explain to him what college sports is. And the Croatian man is like, what are you talking about? Like, what is this thing? Schools have teams and they play each other and there's money involved? What?
A lot of money involved.
It's like someone talking about cricket. It's like, you know, you're like, yeah, so I get it. Like, this seems like a big deal, right? Like, the some of the biggest countries in the world are really into the, well, the games take like 4 days. It's like, like, what is going on with cricket? Was it Pakistan? I met a guy, a sports writer at an Olympics. I think it was Pakistan. Had never won an Olympic medal.
Oh,
does
yeah.
that sound right, Pat?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay, so I met this sports writer. I was on a bus. He was there to cover the Olympics for Pakistan, a country that's it's like the fourth or fifth biggest country in the world, but has never won anything.
Yeah.
Literally never won a medal, or hadn't at that point. And he said, I'm like, so what are you writing about? And he's like, well, there's two parts. He goes, one, all we care about is cricket.
Yeah.
Okay, and maybe a little soccer. Football, but it's mainly just cricket. Nobody cares about this thing. So he goes, I'm covering to the only athlete anybody cares about in Pakistan was Usain Bolt. it was a great point. He was a really nice guy. He's like, we agreed. It's just universal, right?
Yeah.
Like 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
Fast. Like, I'll race you to that speed, tree. Yeah. I'll race you to that rock. This is caveman stuff, right? Like, it says Usain Bolt is massive in Pakistan. But anyway, total side tangent. So aren't the Kansas Jayhawks?
Maybe Kansas will become big in Pakistan if they win this game. Or Duke.
I don't. They might. They got the chance. Obviously, that Tennessee-Florida game is a good one, particularly for Tennessee, which can, like we said,
I think Tennessee's
really set
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do. I don't think Florida is good.
Mm. Our Anthony Richardson for Heisman campaign has gone out the window.
Yeah, right? that's been derailed just a bit.
That might have been a little bit of an overreaction. But, hey, yeah, it's a good game. It's a good game. But Tennessee sets itself up. If they can get by Florida, then they get the game at LSU. That'll be a big game. Yeah. They get a week off. Then they get else. Then, yeah, they get Bama. They could get 5-0 and Bama coming in. And then even if that, they get Kentucky, and then they have Georgia later. They set themselves up for some big games.
Yeah.
Or this can all go sideways in a hurry.
I've been saying since August that Tennessee's going to be 7-1 and highly ranked when the first playoff rankings come out. And then they're going to go play Georgia, and we'll see where they stand.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking everyone's going to lose. all right. Here's a topic I wanted to get to. Terrific story, and we're going to pick all the games later in the week and race for the case. We'll talk more about Week 4 later in the show, so we're not totally off the rail. And we'll have race for the case. We're not afraid to pick KU Duke.
That's right.
We're too lazy to go to Lawrence.
Yeah, that's asking a lot.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, this, you get what you pay for, and this show is free.
If somebody wants to pay our way to do a live pod, at St. Lawrence or something. Yeah, we'll do that.
Pony
Where
up.
The hell are our sponsors? Commercial free. Probably. I don't know. All right. This was a great story by Sam Kahn of The Athletic. And he got all the public records and interviewed a number of the people on the official visit last June of one Arch Manning, the Bell of the Ball 2023 recruiting. I think there were 7 players total on the recruiting visit to Texas. And obviously, nobody does anything bigger than Texas. The Texas athletic budget is massive. And this recruiting visit was phenomenal and highly caloric, I would say. If you want to know what happens on a recruiting visit, they basically just keep feeding you food and your parents booze and maybe the kids booze. And that seems to be all. I don't really know what Texas had other than that. So they show up at the beginning. They go to the Four Seasons. You're allowed to bring 4 people with you, like your parents and some kids. Now, the dad of a top recruit, this is a good life. This is a good life. So they arrive, they spend like 20-something grand on on flights. They spent $46,700 basically on 34 rooms at the hotel.
JW, right?
I think it was the Four Seasons.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah, they had the social at the JW. Yeah.
They walk in. There is a huge lunch spread, chicken tenders, pizza and greens, a soft pretzel bar, a quesadilla station. Uh-huh. Customized 6-inch round cakes with burnt orange and white icing, a longhorn on top and Texas around the side, personalized cookie cakes, the players' favorite candies and snacks, 4-star quarterback Malik Muhammad, 2 types of Jack Link's beef jerky, Skittles, Twix, and Trolley gummy worms. Okay. So then you're at the hotel. The lunch buffet alone was $17,300, another $1,800 on custom cakes. The Longhorns had spent $65,000 before the recruits stepped foot on campus. So then they go over to the stadium for the obligatory photo shoots.
Oh yeah, yep. Everybody's got to get on the gram and show the pictures of them
Put on the uniform. 6 different photo stations, so things move. All that. Okay, whatever. It's fun. My favorite part is that the stadium sound system can echo a little, and they want to play upbeat music. So Texas spent $3,359.12 to rent speakers on the fields to keep the quote unquote acoustics pleasant.
You can't say they didn't think of everything.
They thought of everything. Like, yeah. At what point does someone go like, this is real money?
Yeah.
But no. And hey, it's their money. I am not bashing this. I'm just saying, holy, what the?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Following the presentation, they go to a dinner buffet at the 8th floor of Darrell K. Royal Stadium. There's over 100 people there because they got the staff, all that. Ice sculpture, cocktails, beer, $30,000 right there. There's a rooftop bar. They go back to, I think, the JW. They're at a rooftop bar. I mean, they've done nothing but take photos and get trashed all day. This is it.
Cruton.
Giant pool with an outline of Texas at the bottom. It's not that Texas-shaped pool they have at Houston, which I actually swam in. If someone's going to make a pool the shape of Texas, you kind of got to go.
You got to go.
The whole thing like you're floating down the Rio Grande. It's pretty good. Parents and coaches fraternized over a seemingly endless supply of spirits. You name it, they drank it. More than 40 glasses of Tito's, some Casamigos Blanco tequila, a variety of whiskeys, margaritas, and other mixed drinks, and someone even ordered a $70 glass of Johnny Walker Blue. Cooper Manning.
I thought of Cooper as well. You. Old Coop.
The mistake here is why did they only order one?
Yeah, right.
If I'm Cooper Manning, I am ordering only Johnny Walker Blue everywhere I go. Or it's like maybe it's like the 3-star that somehow got slunk into this trip, you know, and his dad's just out of control.
Like. See, that's yeah. If I'm like that, yeah, the tight end that's Arch Manning's buddy, and you're that guy's dad that got the offer. Oh yeah, I would be going. Yeah. I would be ordering the Johnny Walker Blue.
The final receipt length rivaled that of yours from your local CVS. Yep.
It's a good line.
$6,000 worth of booze, $756 on our diverves, a smattering of beer and wine, 20% service charge, $2,400 rental fee. The pool bar tab came out to $11,880. We're well over 100 G's in a day when they showed up. Okay, day 2. They did nothing.
Yeah.
This was my favorite part. Day 2, back at the stadium for breakfast at the UT Club. Buffet, omelet station, liquor and wine. You got to drink off hangover, Dad.
Mimosas and Bloody Mary, baby.
Another $10,226. Okay, then from 9 to 12, they have the breakfast, buffet, and campus and facility tour. Meetings with position coaches, academic meetings, and a rundown of nutrition and strength and conditioning programs.
So they did more than eat and drink.
Worked in something of actual, you know, like what would
in
you...
In a small window. Yeah. We've done a whole day of drinking. We're now going to eat, drink some. I mean, you're loaded at the academic meeting. Oh, by the way, we have the McCombs School of Business here also.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually a really good school, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's UT, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is this academic meeting? It was like 15 minutes, right? Afternoon, recruits went to Top Golf. Texas has figured out that by the middle of the second day of an official visit, the whirlwind experience catches up to families who may just need a nap.
Yeah, I wonder why, especially if you were having Bloody Marys at breakfast.
Yeah, mom and dad are back sleeping it off.
Mm-hmm.
Another almost 10 grand for 75 people at Top Golf. There was fajitas, guacamole and queso, rice, black beans, dessert, beer and liquor, of course. All right, off to dinner. This is the big one. They go to Three Forks. It's a big steakhouse down there. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yep.
46 7-ounce lobsters. First off, a 7-ounce lobster is not a good lobster. That is a Texas idea of what a lobster should be.
Here we go. Little New England snobbery coming from Fletcher.
That's like them taking a ribeye and saying, I want it well. Your lobster should be pound and a quarter, pound and a half. A 7-ounce lobster is a show lobster.
Okay.
It's not, you do not, that's terrible. That's bad.
All right.
Don't sign with the Longhorns. They're not to serve lobster. I just found the flaw in the plan. If there's 46 7-ounce lobsters, hold on. 7 ounces is what?
It's a half pound. A little less than that. A little less than a half.
So those are, is that right? A half?
I mean, 16 ounces is a pound.
Yeah, so that'd be a tiny lot. I think this might be a misprint. All right, I take it back. How do you have a little lobster? I thought they made a big lobster. I was thinking it was a 7-pound. All right. Anyway, they had some lobster. Tail?
Just the tail. Right?
Maybe it's just a tail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's the tail.
Just the tail.
All right. I take it back.
If we got any lobster fishermen who listen to the pod,
I don't know what this is. A 7-ounce lobster is a very small lobster that would be illegally caught. Illegally caught lobsters.
Oh, Google tells me that 7-ounce main lobster tail is fairly normal. It's just the tail. Yeah.
That's a good size. Yeah. All right. I misread it, but it's just athletic. Get your lobster editor right on there. All right. 34 bone-in ribeyes, 26 8-ounce fillets, 17 New York strips, a sea bass, a chicken fried lobster.
Ooh.
That actually sounds delicious. Wow. Lobster mac and cheese. The list went on.
Mm.
Chris Pilot, dad of one recruit, ordered the tomahawk ribeye, which rang up at 135.
Go big or go home. Get the tomahawk.
I've never had a tomahawk before, so why not? He said, you'd go, Chris Pilot. 36,900 for this dinner. So then the recruits went out with the players.
Yeah. And then,
Yeah, who knows what happened there?
Sixth Street.
That's not in the Freedom of Information.
No. I mean, that could be
shocking.
Yeah, that could be Sixth Street.
Shocking.
That could be the Rick Pitino Club. No. We don't know. I'm shocked there were hookers in the athletic dorm.
Tread lightly here now. Come on.
I'm sorry. What am I treading lightly about? Not entertainers.
Yeah. We don't want to accuse Texas of lining up hookers just because Louisville did.
No. This is Louisville's not any good. Yeah, see? While recruits went out again. Anyway, they rented a boat to roll them down the river there on Lady Bird Lake.
Yeah.
And watch the bats fly out of this, I guess.
Oh, yeah, the big bat thing. I mean, it is really kind of funny that, like, you know, this is all just indulgence extravagance. You know, spend. But then it's like, oh, we're going to watch the bats too, you know, which is cool. I have sat there and watched the bats fly out at twilight. It is very cool.
Yeah.
But, you know,
a little nature. There's a depth to this trip.
There you go.
2,300 for the cruise. There was also enjoyed the Austin skyline. I'm really sure it's
it's not bad. Better than most college town skylines.
I'll give it that. I'll give it that, but I mean, we're not. Oh my. Austin Skywalker.
It's not Biscayne Bay in Miami.
There you go. All right. Amy's ice cream, Mexican vanilla, dark chocolate, Oreo, non-fat, non-dairy. That's nice. Mm. Toppings include sprinkles, pecans, hot fudge, fresh cut strawberry. Very nice. Anyway, the next day they go over to Sark's house for another meeting.
It's nice of Sark to make an appearance here.
Yeah.
he had a huge 5,400 square foot house. He's buying a new one, of course. Mm. Once he got Arch, he was like, I'm good for a few more years. Final tab, nearly $350,000. Oh, no, that was the next week. This was $270,000. Next week, they had more visitors, $350,000, basically the same thing. Two weekends of recruiting, $630,000. They had 11 visitors who weren't already committed to Texas. Nine joined the class. Oh, that weekend. Let's see. Of the 23 across both weekends, 16 are now committed to the Longhorns. Although, you know, there's a bunch of guys that just said, hell no, I'll drink your food, eat. And then, yeah, I'm good, which I think is kind of fun. And obviously, Texas is killing it in recruiting. So a couple questions here. Pat, is this how it went for swimming recruiting visits? You, Brooke Forty was the number one recruit in the country or something damn close, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. And
did
she,
you get a visited, tomahawk and a...
She visited Texas. She did not get that treatment. Not that I recall.
Did you even go on the trip?
No, I didn't. Well, it's funny. As a matter of fact, I went on the trip to cover Notre Dame, Texas, which was the game she attended on her official visit. So I was covering the game. I didn't do any of the other stuff that they did, but I did get to see her down on the field, and she had a great time. She did not get, you know, thousands of dollars worth of lavish spending on her that I know of, but she really liked her visit to Texas. So I can say that. They didn't put on the dog quite like
this. Any reported escorts in the dorm?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah. Check.
So you didn't have any Johnny Walker Blue. That's a shame.
I did
on
not.
Texas's
nope.
Tab.
Nope. I stayed out of it completely. So again, I was in the press box. I was on the field. I waved to her on the field. That's about as much as she wanted to do with me there.
All right. Well, yours is a mistake raising swimmers.
I know. I'm reading this thinking exactly that. I mean, Brooke was Arch Manning, kinda. Not, you know, she wasn't like a generational number one recruit, but she was a fairly important deal, and we didn't get any of the Arch Manning treatment, I'm afraid.
So let's say you're a five-star recruit from Texas, and you're going to Oklahoma or Texas or wherever, right? And you're committed. I mean, you're going to be a Sooner, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas is always going to keep pushing, right? Do you go, do you say no thank you, or do you sit there with one last visit and say, hey, Dad, let's go. I want you to get absolutely trashed on Johnny Walker Blue and eat tomahawk steaks all weekend. And then just we're going to walk into Sark's little home office and be like, boomer, out of here. Is that a jerk move or the proper move?
Both. It's both, isn't it? I mean, it is a jerk move, but if somebody wants to take you and just put on the dog for you like that, I wouldn't turn it down.
And it happens. I mean, I think it happens quite a bit where, you know, kids use that fourth or fifth official visits knowing where they're going to go. But, you know, mom, dad, kid, uncle, aunt, they want some free booze and free food, and everybody likes to be courted. So,
yeah.
Yep. I figure that's got to be like something like Miami's got to work out for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. How many people are just coming for the visit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's, you know, signing day is February 7th. It's January 13th. It's like, this kid's a good wide receiver out of Chicago. He's like, hey, what the hell? Let's go to Miami.
Let's go spend a weekend down there. Sure.
I'm going to go play at Notre Dame, but what the hell? It's freezing. I don't need to go visit Notre Dame again.
Right.
Yeah. Additionally, a small bit of soapbox. This is inducements. Don't tell me about paying the players with NIL inducements. What the hell is this?
No,
I'm not saying it's wrong. Texas should spend every dollar it wants. But you basically did like a 20-minute academic meeting, took some photos, and got everyone hammered the rest of the time.
Guardrails.
And spent. Yeah.
Yeah, guardrails. These other schools cannot afford to match this. What are the guardrails? This is where the NCAA tried to do once. That was why you couldn't have like cream cheese on the bagel. Remember like stuff
yeah.
like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Like you can't have two yep. types of Jack Link's beef jerky, uh-huh. only one, right? Or you just say, hey, screw it, man. If Texas wants to do this, do it.
Yep.
But this is an inducement. Everything in college athletics is an inducement.
Yeah.
The tomahawk, the Johnny Walker blue, the uniform. You go to these games, they all have the baton twirling team. You notice all the baton twirlers are like these incredibly fit young women in very revealing outfits. Like, are we to believe that across the SEC there's big fans of baton twirling? That's why they're there? No, it's an inducement.
I didn't know there were that many baton twirlers still in America until I went to an Alabama game. Alabama's got from? All of them.
Alabama does. Yeah, like we're going to get flooded with emails from baton twirling Alabama parents.
Yes. I'm
there to watch the skill of the baton twirlers. Yeah. I am
defending the legitimacy of the baton twirlers.
That outfit to be a baton twirler? They make, there's like an assembly line in like Birmingham that just churns out like 15.
At Dan Wetzel, the guy, that's where to direct your responses to this.
Inducement. Everything's an inducement. But, oh no! The players might be getting told they can make some money in NIL. We better get Tuberville in here. But hey, Texas, go spend $600,000 on recruiting for a couple weekends. That's fine.
This story does.
Not an inducement.
This story does remind me of just like reporting in the past on recruiting budgets. And, you know, every time a new coach teams to take over a program, you know, the first thing that changes is the recruiting budget. It's like, you always hear ADs and coaches say, we've increased the recruiting budget. We've doubled our recruiting budget. It's like, this is what it's for. This is what it's for. It's to offset what others are doing or try to compete with others with these extravagant spreads and such. I know that's what happened with Kirby. When Kirby took over, that was a big thing. Like, oh, we've doubled our recruiting budget. Yeah. I think Kirby and them's recruiting budget's actually the biggest in the nation. Or was
biggest
like
in the country.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, I don't know, $3 to $4 or $5 million. It was something absurd. Because usually recruiting budgets, you know, they're one of the smallest lines, I feel like, in an athletic budget. But this is what they're for right here. The booze and the food.
Yeah, not only putting on the dog, but also then hiring all the recruiting assistants now.
I mean, this is a massive operation. Yeah. This is a huge thing. And again, go for it. And like, yeah, Georgia had the biggest recruiting budget, and like 3/4 of their team is in the state from the state of Georgia. It's not like they had to fly all over the country on private jets to watch these guys.
Yeah. No, that's one of the things, you know, that is truly one of the funny things about this is you hear this phrase more and more. Can you recruit a national championship without getting on a plane? And there's like four or five schools where you could do that. And Texas is certainly one of them, theoretically at least. But we're spending more money than ever on recruiting.
Right. And this is it. So you know that this story came out and was on Nick Saban's desk.
Oh, it was on the Fish's desk. Every in school in the SEC and every school in the Big 12 and probably
I'm
all
guessing
of them in the
a
Big
printout.
10. Yeah.
Maybe they're reading stuff on, but I'm guessing it was a printout. And they were like, wait a minute, five types of Skittles?
we need got four six over here. For ours. Yep.
Yeah, we're going to have to go six. But it's all an inducement. Why? How many of these guys, these players, would, if you had said, hey, we'll just divvy up this money instead of just giving you a party weekend?
Right. Yeah. We'll take our $600,000 or whatever here.
Right, but according to this, there was maybe one academic meeting. Didn't seem to be a campus tour. It wasn't like a discussion. I didn't see a lot of that.
Yeah. That was certainly not the focus of the story.
Did not seem
probably
to be. Maybe it was there.
The visit. Yeah.
Anyway, when they're telling you they need guardrails and a level playing field, you show them this story and say, yeah. Let's see UT San Antonio match that. Good Lord.
We'll do some investigative work, too, on whether Cooper Manning did order the Johnny Walker Blue.
Who ordered the Johnny Walker Blue? That is the question. It's a bold order. You got to feel confident in your offer, I think, at that point.
Absolutely. You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you got the number one quarterback as your son, you can feel pretty confident.
All right. Unfortunate but not surprising news. Brett McMurphy over at the Action Network reported that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, the Bedlam series, is over when the Sooners join the SEC. So we're going to get Texas and Texas A&M back, which never should have gone away when Texas and OU joined the SEC. But we are now losing Bedlam, which I think is massively disappointing because it is a great event, a heated, heated rivalry. It's a great showcase for the state of Oklahoma. And I don't know. I hope they can continue it. I hope they continue it somehow in football, but if nothing else, I hope they somehow at least play once a year in basketball, wrestling, and some of the other sports, you know, softball. I mean, it's a really good rivalry in other sports. So I don't know. It's a tough casualty, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's part of, we just talked about like the fabric of college football, why we love it, why it has kind of an up on the NFL with people in college football. And I think this is one of the reasons is because of these longstanding kind of geographic, cultural, whatever you want to call it, rivalries. And we've gotten away from that, you know, a little bit because of money. I mean, let's just be honest, right? We've gotten away from it because of money, and money's driving, obviously, the realignment, and that's driving the split in the end of these series. Like you said, this was not a surprise at all. I think both ADs and even the coaches from each team have kind of like suggested like this is going to probably come to an end. And it is, it's sad and it's unfortunate. And I think back to the West Virginia Pitt game. It kicked off the year and I was there and it was awesome and it was incredible. And it's things like this that make college football great. You know, I was at Bedlam for the first time. Thank goodness I went last year because might not see very, very many of them more. But I went last year. It was my first experience there. It was at Oklahoma State. It was just amazing. The environment was electric. It was an awesome game, and just an awesome atmosphere. And it's too bad that that TV money and realignment have taken us away from these.
This is one of those things that, again, it's just like the schools and the conferences have been empowered so much that they just, it's one more thing they can take away from the fans without any repercussion. You know, it's like, we'll kick off at 11 because TV tells us to because of money. We'll change our geographic location in terms of common sense because money. And you'll like it, and you'll deal with it, and you'll make justifications why it's a good thing to do, even though it doesn't really help you personally at all. We'll have USC fans sit there and try to say that it's a good thing that we're not going to play in the Bay Area, but we are going to play in State College, Pennsylvania. The sport is so powerful that you get fans to go along with anything, even if they don't really like it, but they just go along. And so, hey, you got an audience full of suckers, basically. So you just keep sucking them, right? I mean, you just keep taking them. This is another example of that. And the amazing thing about Bedlam, to me, it's not a competitive series. Oklahoma dominates that series.
Yeah.
You know, thank goodness Oklahoma State won last year to at least change the narrative a little bit. But even though it's not been a competitive series, people care deeply. You know, I mean, it is. Talked about and hotly contested. And yeah, this isn't a surprise. I mean, Gundy, I was at Big 12 Media Days. Gundy said it's going to happen then. Yeah, so yeah. This didn't like some shocking.
It's better in basketball. I hope they at least play once a year in basketball. I hope they play twice, home and home, but at least they could switch it each year or at worst play in Oklahoma City.
And that's.
But that would suck because, I mean, it's the only time Ibe Arena gets going anymore.
Well, and both schools are good at a lot of sports. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Hope they wrestle against each other, play golf against each other, play baseball against each other. They're good at all those sports. So,
fans are sold garbage.
Yeah.
and told to take it.
Yes.
Like 11, you know, bad times, hot days, horrible opponents. Michigan is now got its most exciting game this weekend. It's getting this season when Maryland comes.
Yeah.
They had to sit through three craptastic, total mismatch games that Jim Harbaugh treated like the preseason. And 100,000 showed up every time anyway.
That's it. So what's the incentive for them to not do that?
It's amazing what getting drunk outdoors would do.
It is getting drunk outdoors. It's the tailgate atmosphere. I swear to God, it's hearing the fight song and seeing them run on the field. And everybody's like, this is great. We're back. The game sucks. Can we leave at halftime? You know, but
It's horrible. It's hot. Yeah. It's not good. Oklahoma does have home and homes in the future with Michigan, 25 and 26. Nebraska, again, and then Clemson, 35-36. Mark your calendars. Oklahoma State has home and homes with Arizona State, Arkansas, Oregon, Alabama, Nebraska, and Colorado. They're playing Colorado in 2037. There's another exciting one to make sure you... What the hell? 2037.
Hope I'm still alive. I'll go to it.
Hope we're alive. Hope everyone's alive. Some of you won't be. Just keep listening.
Keep subscribing anyway. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of a rivalry that may be getting heated. October 8th. Showdown in Amherst, Massachusetts. Liberty is visiting UMass. And UMass, apparently full of bluster after their victory last week. A victory.
Did they win? Who did they
Doesn't
beat?
Happen every day. I don't know, but they beat somebody. They're not winless. I got a bunch of people taunting me on Twitter, noting that they won something. Let me look. They're 1-2. I believe they beat Stony Brook.
Okay, there you go. It? Well, if you can beat the Seawolves, who can't you beat?
Yeah, they lost. They beat Stony Brook. Is Stony Brook Division One? I don't know.
They're FCS. So.
Okay, take what you can get. Yeah. Anyway, UMass has deemed the October 8th game in Amherst Pride Day. Pride Day. If you come at a certain ticket deal, you can get a UMass Pride Day trucker hat, which actually looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So you know, Liberty. The Liberty Way, they have a code of conduct at Liberty called the Liberty Way, and it bans all homosexual activity. Any sexual relations outside biblically ordained marriage between a natural born man and a natural born woman. Good luck with that on a college campus. But any statements or behaviors that are associated with the LGBT lifestyle are prohibited as well. No hand holding. Keep your pronouns. You can imagine where this
is. You can't even make a statement.
The Liberty Way is quite a document if you want to read it. You can't watch any movie that's rated more than R. Again, good luck enforcing that one. There's a lot in there, but that's the Liberty Way. That's how Liberty wants to do it. It's an evangelical Christian school. One of the great parts of college athletics to me is places like UMass, which tries and proudly bills itself as like the best place for LGBT students, is playing a school like Liberty, which proudly tries to be the worst place, right?
Yeah.
And it's a football game and maybe find some common ground. I don't know. Whatever. It's the beauty of college sports. Like, everybody's in the boat. Everyone in the pool.
Yep.
We're all here. Let's play. But UMass is calling it Pride Day. Can't be a coincidence. So, Pat, excellent trolling or unnecessarily mean?
No, excellent trolling. UMass has won 3 games in the last 4 years. This is their biggest win in a while.
Yeah.
I think this is a great little statement. Like, yeah, we'll play you in football, but we'll also tell you how we feel about one of your policies at your school. So, you know, I hope it's not ugly. It doesn't need to be ugly, but I hope it is proud. I hope it's loud and proud at UMass for this game. And I think it was Northwestern, either field hockey or lacrosse, that did this first with Liberty. So there is precedent for it, but I applaud UMass for going there and notching one of its rare victories in anything related to football.
Okay.
It's brilliant. It is. I cackled. And you know, didn't this kind of something similar happen last week with Bobby Petrino came into Arkansas during in Arkansas, it was family night or family. they called that game against Missouri State the family night game or something. Bring your kids. So Petrino coming to town. Bring your kids. Oh, so that was great. No, these things are awesome. I fully endorse. This UMass thing.
I suppose Liberty can come back with like Bible Day next year.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know, they can.
I don't love this. I gotta admit, I don't love it. I think if you're that if you're really that into it, don't play them.
Yeah,
like don't be in business with Liberty.
Okay, I can understand that.
If you're going to invite someone to your campus just so you can scorn them. I feel like Bobby Petrino's one thing. It's like a grown man we paid gazillion dollars to and he screwed us over. But like, and it's not an effective, it's just going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Liberty will love this.
No.
Like it doesn't like win any argument. It's not even trying to win an argument, I suppose.
No.
I don't know if there is an argument to have with Liberty on this, but anyway, I don't love it, but I got to say it was funny in the moment, but I would not do it, but I suppose there are bigger tragedies out there than Liberty having to get Gay Pride Day everywhere they go or certain places. And the trucker hat is pretty sweet looking.
It's nice. Okay.
I never thought of getting a UMass hat before, but that thing's, I might buy two tickets just to get the free hat.
Free merch.
I appreciate UMass appealing to its gay fans. They don't have any fans.
Fans they can get. You kidding me?
Now they have some gay fans, man.
They were in no position. What's that?
So maybe now they have some gay fans after this.
Now they do. I don't know.
The attempt to grow the fan base, diversify it as well.
You got to try everything. We're in no position to discriminate against any fans. No. Everyone welcome. All right, Ross, I thought you had a fine little bit this week on SI.com. Why wait for the 12-team playoff, right? Because everyone's kind of fired up right now about the season. What would the 12-team playoff look like right now? I will lay out your bracket, and then I'll let you defend yourself because Michigan fans are going to scream at you through their podcast the way they did on everything else. Number one, Georgia. Would play the winner of Arkansas at Oklahoma State, a game in Stillwater between two local rivals. Because there's that little road between Fayetteville and Oklahoma City. I mean, Stillwater. I'm on all my geography off here. This would be unbelievable to play in Stillwater. They might make so much money they can actually afford an extra foot of sideline space. They could move that wall.
Or afford another hotel. I'd like to, you know, not a lot of sleeping options in Stillwater.
So if the game's going to be so heated, someone's just going to smash into that wall again.
Yeah.
Number five, Penn State would host App State. Winner playing Clemson. Number seven, Oklahoma would host Kentucky. What a weekend in Oklahoma. Two playoff games.
Yeah. That would winner be some bedlam.
Winner plays Ohio State in a boring boring neutral antiseptic place because college football has no soul. Number 11, NC State at number 6, Alabama. That's right. Get angry. Credible. So your home environments the first weekend would be Stillwater, State College, Norman, and Tuscaloosa. Sign me up. Winner of Bama, NC State gets USC. And then, we go the neutral sites. Obviously, you can explain yourself. The top four have to be conference champions. That's why Alabama got knocked down.
Right. So,
and Michigan may be ranked fifth, but you played nobody. You've played a burning heap of garbage.
So, I think
deal with
might
it.
Be the
Beat
only
Penn State in a couple weeks.
Yeah, might be the Pat might know better than me because I know he poured over a lot of the schedules during the offseason, but I don't know that is any Power Five not played a Power Five outside of Michigan. That's hard to believe through three weeks.
UCLA hasn't because their game with Michigan got canceled by Michigan.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I think there's been a couple. I was like Oklahoma State. I don't think.
Oh, no, they play Arizona State.
Oh, you're right. Remember? You're right. Yeah.
There's only a handful. But anyway, so okay. So first things first to understand about this bracket, because when I tweeted.
Oh wait, Fayetteville's hosting the game. I got it wrong.
That's right, because they're the 8 seed. But it's okay. Yeah, whatever.
You know, that lobster thing threw me off. I haven't been the same.
You place. Haven't, yeah.
You haven't right? recovered.
You need to regroup.
You haven't recovered.
Lie down for a minute.
You need a Bush Light.
Nobody refers to a lobster as a 7 ounce.
Yeah.
I haven't made it. I'm dying.
Go
I'm
lie.
Rattled. I'm,
go so, lie down
I'm like
for
Jeremy
a minute.
Pruitt. I'm like clock management with Jeremy Pruitt here. I'm just, everything wrong is happening.
I think there's two things that people need to understand when they look at this, because we're going to do this every week. Is, you know, we're following by the model that was adopted, which is six automatic qualifiers that are given to the six highest ranked conference champions, and then six at-larges, which are given to the next highest ranked teams. And only, like you mentioned, Dan, only the four highest ranked conference champions get a bye. So only the conference champions get a bye. We didn't exactly use the polls. We used the polls in conjunction with kind of our own selection committee, just me. I'm the selection committee, and I poured over kind of resumes.
It's your column, baby.
That's right. And we kind of used more. We took the polls, we took the results, but really we put an onus on who you played, how you looked when you in the result, but who you played was really big. And so
I like how you're referring to yourself as a plural.
Yeah, that's right.
The royal we.
Sounds much more effective. Yeah. Hey, watch your pronouns if Liberty's getting in this thing.
So there are three things. And I did this last year too, actually. Like halfway through the season, I started to do this, and some things became evident that there are three three most important decisions for the selection committee in this new model, this expanded playoff, are going to be the fourth best conference champion and the fifth best conference champion. There might be really small amount of difference there between the two, and one of them's going to get a bye and one of them's not. And so that's like a big decision factor there. The second big decision is 8-9 seed, because the 8 seed's going to get a home field for the first round, and the 9 seed is not. And there could be we have Arkansas and Oklahoma State. Like, that was a toss-up, whatever. I mean, we're through 3 weeks, so we'll have a better idea at the end of the season. But right now, there's, like, no margin hardly separating the 8 and 9 seed. And then the last thing is the final at-large team. And after I published this, going back and rethinking it, I kind of screwed up on the last at-large team. I got 11-seed NC State as the last at-large seed in. And I really kind of regret that I should have put Washington in. I think their resume is better. I think that Washington should have been in instead of NC State, probably. And then the 12 seed, of course, is App State. And we deemed that App State was the best Group of Five team. But that was also a toss-up, too. We thought about putting Tulane in there. So it's fun to do these things. Right now, the margin between these teams, because we're just 3 weeks in, are just so small. But it's really fun, and you could see how it lays out there, like how cool this is going to be, and why we should have done this years ago.
I mean, an Arkansas home game playoff.
Fantastic.
That's phenomenal.
In Tuscaloosa. Biggest
one against Parkinson's the team, guy. Actually, I mean, you know, it's happenstance, but it's cool that the opposing team would be able to get their fans there easily as well. But
yeah, right. Absolutely incredible setup. Yeah. And again, I think once they see those first games on campus and then we move to the second round, then it's,
yeah.
I mean, look, let's say it's Oklahoma, Ohio State, and you're playing at in Miami, right? Ohio State fans sitting there saying, just paid for the Big Ten championship game.
Yep.
I got this one. I got a semi. I'm not going.
Yep. Right. That's a real.
I can't go to all these games.
That's a real concern.
Yeah, and they're gonna.
It is.
And that's if, Ohio
if they
State.
They let recruits on campus for those home weekends.
Yeah,
forget it.
Right.
Ohio State's gonna be like, oh, I want my home weekend next weekend.
Sure. And
but
like that's Ohio State, which has the biggest fan base in the country. There's gonna be schools. What you know, if an Oklahoma State gets a top 4 seed and is you know going bowl, bowl, bowl. No, those fans, they ain't going.
Or USC that might be distant all three. Yeah. You can't drive to any of them other than, you know, Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's a real – and I think what we're going to – I had one commissioner actually tell me that he believes in the next iteration of the playoff. So, you know, probably in 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, that he believes that the second round games will be at home. But they're hanging on to the bowls for one more iteration, Dan. They're hanging on one more iteration. Yep.
I can't believe we're already.
You know what?
Yeah, they're already planning to change the next iteration before the next iteration's here.
Yeah, they're all like, "Well, we should do this, but
we're not going.
We're not going to." That's all right. I will not let perfect be the enemy of progress.
Right.
This is great. This is great. Be very, very exciting. It's gonna be rocket fuel for this entire sport.
For Michigan fans, no, you don't deserve to be in the top 12 yet. You ain't played nobody. I looked up Sagarin. Their strength of schedule is 196th in the country. The only Power 5 team that is worse is Minnesota at 216.
Now, that'll change this weekend, right? They host Maryland.
Yeah, they play Maryland, who's okay, so, right?
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's nothing huge, so, but...
they're in the gauntlet of the Big Ten East. Everyone's undefeated except...
Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Yeah.
The gauntlet. It probably doesn't matter. I don't know. Whatever, people take it. All right, we have an update on the chess drama story. Okay, if you remember last week, cover your children's ears, although we already talked about like hookers and the, you know, whatever.
The ongoing anal bead saga.
So if you recall, there is a guy named Magnus Carlsen. He is like he's the world champ of chess. And he accused this American kid, Hans Niemann, of, or people are accusing Hans Niemann. I think Carlsen's in on it, of inserting beads in a place that I would think you don't want that, but I don't know, live your life. Not here to judge.
To pass no judgment.
If you're gonna,
Liberty Way here.
If you're
going to
sit in front of a chessboard for a long time, I wouldn't think that would be the most comfortable thing, but whatever.
I don't know, right? But hey, whatever floats the boat. The problem was, you got to light that candle somehow.
Golly. I need to put some bourbon in my coffee, man. Oh man.
This would be like the nightmare for Liberty if this guy Hans Niemann was like a proud alum but then was using this tactic. What do we do? What do we do on this? Anyway, supposedly he had, and they could remote control and send like buzzing. And it's graphic. And somebody was watching the game and then using artificial intelligence to make the perfect move. And so all of a sudden this guy's like killing it in chess. So we've become fascinated, of course, because we're morons. And they had a rematch. Hans Niemann, the electric bead guy, and Magnus Carlsen, the world champ, had a rematch. And this is some great stuff. Niemann makes a move. Carlsen makes a move. Niemann makes a move. It's like horse, you know, G6. I don't know what the hell.
Horse.
And
that's a knight, man. That's a knight. Not a
knight.
Horse.
Yeah, the horsey. No, the knight. Horsey.
Oh my God.
Like I said, I wrote a chess movie. It's terrible.
Yeah. Did you really?
You really did.
Clearly, it stuck with you.
Yeah, I know.
Life of a King. We had Cuba Gooding Jr. as our star and everything. He knew no more chess than we did.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carlsen then resigns. He has just one move and he just basically resigns. Turns off his little program and goes away.
Yeah.
No comments yet. He apparently either believes this was either a protest or he thought that Niemann's moves were somehow illegal. I don't know. But the Chess Champions Tour press release called it a shocking move, a wave of shock, seemingly in protest at alleged cheating.
This is great. I'm now on the chess mailing list. Chess Champions mailing list. It's awesome.
So is this a great move? Should Carlsen try to beat him anyway? Or just say, hey, I'm out of here. This guy's a cheat.
I don't know. I mean, I think if you feel like you're being cheated, maybe you need to make this sort of protest about it, and then I guess we have a cavity search. I don't know how this thing resolves itself, but the best
turn
thing,
and cough, squat and cough, man. It's like this, yeah, right. It's like city lockup, man. Yeah.
The best thing was the live, you know, video, like play-by-play analysis of this. The video was awesome where, like, some guy's, you know, kind of droning on and on about the whole controversy, and all of a sudden the woman just cuts him off. Stop. We have breaking news. Magnus Carlsen has resigned. And it's like,
yeah, the,
and
then side, just the, like, sideboard the sideboard reporter, yeah, was just, yes, a, yeah, a gap.
Yes. And then everybody's like, whoa, oh my gosh, this is incredible. It was a high drama at the old chess board there. But
the,
yeah,
Champions Chess Tour, the Aaron Andrews of the Champions Chess Tour, was could not speak fast enough.
If
this is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah. If it gets us to the quote unquote bottom of the story, you know, like what's actually going on, I'm in favor of the resignation.
The funniest part is we discussed this on the last pod, and then Pat immediately somehow got put on the mailing list for updates.
That's great. Fantastic.
They found you. And yeah. Started sending.
Somebody, yeah, in the chess world's listening.
Anyway, we are going to stay on top of this, although, you know,
we're going to platonically. We're going to keep watching it. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to watch the video. I'm not getting too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he cheat with the beads? I don't know. I don't know. But certainly that's a badass move.
Wait,
that's a bad term there. I'm, yeah, sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Pod's in trouble. Pod's in trouble here.
Yeah, we need to sign off. We're out.
We got
one more
court
story we got to get to before we sign off.
No. There's got a people's court this.
All rise. The Honorable Judge Wetzel, Judge 40, and Judge Dellinger presiding. This is the People's Court.
Yeah, okay. This was the most sent to us story of the week. It involves a man named Doug Ramsey, 53, of Fayetteville, who for some reason is referred to in every media account here as the Beyond Meat COO.
Like,
he's,
I guess,
the COO, Chief Operating Officer of Beyond Meat.
There's no explanation of that, though.
Why is that even news?
Yeah, like, who cares?
It's not like you're like, oh, the CEO of Amazon or something. Like, I guess Beyond Meat has a Chief Operating. Like, this is not famous.
No.
I guess a little bit. Anyway, Doug Ramsey of Fayetteville is, as you might expect, an Arkansas fan, Woo Pig. And even though it's kind of funny because he's making fake meat, but he was trying to leave the parking garage after the game in Fayetteville on Saturday night.
Family night,
and
by the way,
family night. Anyway, there was the police were called near gate 15 of this parking garage, and a responding officer found two males with bloody faces at the scene. So what happened was Ramsey, this is according to NWA homepage, KNWA Fox 24. They were on this, as you'd expect. Ramsey was allegedly in the traffic lane of the structure attempting to leave when a Subaru, quote, inched his way, unquote, in front of Ramsey's Bronco, making contact with the front passenger side tire. Ramsey was not pleased. Allegedly, he gets out of his vehicle and allegedly, quote, punched through the back windshield of the Subaru.
Yeah. Yo.
Good God, Cobra Kai. That's not easy.
Seems like self-punishment. No, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
The owner of the Subaru got out, should not have.
No.
He stated that Ramsey then, quote, pulled him in close and started punching his body. Ramsey also, quote, bit the owner's nose, ripping the flesh off the tip of the nose. Ramsey also threatened to kill the owner of the Subaru. He was arrested for charges of terroristic threatening and third degree battery. Insane.
Modern day Hannibal Lecter.
I mean, there's road rage and there's parking garage rage.
Yeah, a guy that's the COO of a plant-based meat alternative company, you know, goes for human flesh, apparently.
Goes cannibal, yeah. So, Justice 40, what is your ruling on this?
This is very simple. Was it the Subaru's turn? Okay, that's where this whole thing, this all boils down to that. So, like, we've all been in parking garages after games or other events. It's a cluster bomb trying to get out of there. There are certain rules of civility and engagement, though. You go and tell, you know, if you let one person in coming from another direction, then you go.
Yeah.
If it was the Subaru's turn, then Hannibal Lecter is at fault. If it was not the Subaru's turn, then Hannibal Lecter had a right to bite his nose off.
Yes.
Really?
Punch his back window out and bite his nose off.
Yes. Whose turn was it? You know what? Parking garage justice can be vicious sometimes.
Wow.
That's where I stand.
Wow. Justice 40.
Maybe we don't need home playoff games if this is what's happening on a family night against an FCS opponent. I don't know if Arkansas can handle hosting.
Hey, my mock playoff. Oklahoma State was coming to town to Fayetteville. Look out for your noses, Oklahoma State fans. God.
If you see Doug Ramsey or whatever, what's the guy's name? Not Doug Ramsey. Yeah, Doug Ramsey. All right, Justice Dellinger.
There's no I don't think there's ever any excuse to bite off somebody's nose or bite off a part of their nose. I have to say, no. Mr. Meat Guy or No Meat Guy or whatever needs to be like sitting in jail for a while, you know? That's my ruling.
So look, if you want to punch out a guy's back windshield, you're dumb enough to try that. You're probably breaking your hand.
Yeah.
But hey, have at it. You want body blows? Fine. Everyone knows I'm a big UFC fan. There are not a lot of things that are illegal in the UFC, but biting noses is one of them. If it's not allowed in the octagon, if Dana freaking White sits there and says, hey, now that's too much.
Going over the line.
that's a step too far. If you've offended the sensibilities of Dana White, no, you are outside the realms of polite society. You want to punch out a dude in the back windshield because he bumped your tire and tried to cut you off in the parking garage. I think Justice 40, I concur. It all comes down to it's your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn.
Yeah.
Anybody, I mean, nothing makes you more irate than someone tries to cut them your turn, my
exactly.
turn thing, right?
It's a well-established protocol. Come on. Follow the protocol.
This is how society's got to work.
We are a lawless society if you can't do your turn, my turn in the parking garage. We've lost everything.
Well, someone lost his nose. Took his nose. And just barbaric. I'm not getting any Beyond Meat after this.
No, I'm not feeling compelled to.
No. All right. Well, we'll see how we'll stay on top of this ongoing saga. That we end the show. We'll be back later in the week with Race for the Case. We'll pick the games for this weekend, talk a lot of football. Maybe have some more fun too. Talk to you later.